I heard Debbie, just before church started, say, "Did you catch what I said?" And then I heard Becky say, "I'm going to follow you." Is that right?
She said, "Did you catch what I did?" And I said, "I just follow
you." Okay. Well, I'm preaching tonight on fishing and following. You say, "Is that the Lord?" I believe that God is in things more than we're aware of, if we just pay attention. We're going to get there in a strange way this evening, but I want to begin by looking at Psalms 148. David felt like Joe. He just wanted to praise the Lord all the time. And I thought it was interesting on David got so excited in praising the Lord, the last five Psalms, but he really takes off in Psalms 148, and we know he's praising the Lord, but then he just kind of turns his attention. He tells the sun in verse 3, you ought to praise him. He tells the moon, you need to praise the Lord, and all you stars of light. And then he moves on about how things ought to praise the Lord. And then he says in verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons, and all you deeps. Now I take the deeps, that's in the waters, the fish. The fire and the hail and the snow, you need to praise the Lord. And the mountains and all the hills. And he says, verse 10, beast and all cattle and creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Jesus said, if we didn't praise him, the very rocks would cry out and praise him. Do fish have a consciousness to praise the Lord? I know that they have an awareness to be able to obey God. For when Jesus told the disciples to go out into the deep and let down the nets for a draught, those fish had to be told what to do to get in the nets. And then the fish had to mind the Lord when he told them to cast the net on the other side. And the fish, 153 of them, went the other side. But the fish I'm interested in this evening is not caught by a net, but by perhaps a rod and reel. But let's begin this evening by looking at Matthew chapter 4, because I want to title this, Let's Go Fishing. And if I don't get to the spiritual right away, I may lose you. But in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19 is the words that Becky had said, although used in a different way. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 17. Unusual message. Matthew 17, this fish, maybe he felt sorry for himself because he couldn't get in the nets. Or maybe he was grateful he didn't get caught in the nets. But when Jesus told Peter, we know the story in verse 27, here's where Jesus tells Peter, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook. There must have been a rod and a reel. This wasn't net fishing. This is by a hook. And take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, oh, glory to God, wouldn't that be great? Thou shalt find a piece of money and take it and give unto them for me and thee. It's amazing the things that the Lord could be in. I want to talk about let's go fishing. I'm not talking about let's go duck hunting. I noticed this morning a beautiful duck that Bob Jr. had shot and had it mounted. Now, I love to fish. I haven't had the desire here because I was spoiled up north. I went over to a little park where there's a pond, and I noticed some old-timers fishing. I watched them, but they'd catch, it was, for me, I was embarrassed for them. But they were having a good time. We're going to delve into spiritual fishing this evening. There is as much or more enjoyment letting the Lord use you to catch men. I've had my share of catching souls, and ever since I've been a Christian, I've had a heart to try to win souls to the Lord. It's a very thrilling thing. And I want to stir and encourage your hearts this evening to desire to do more fishing. Fishing is not just for the pastor. It's for anyone that follows Jesus. Because Jesus said, follow me. And if you're a follower of Jesus, he said, I'm going to make you to be a fisherman of men. I remember as a boy, my dad would drop me off at the Ventura Pier. And he would go to work, and then he'd pick me up on the pier. And I remember seeing some men on the pier, and they were catching yellowtail at a certain time of the year. And I saw this other boy. He was having fun. He'd go up behind these men, and they had their pole, and they're there. And these boys would come up, sneak up behind him, and hit the pole to make the men think they had a bite. And those old men would pull back on it, and the little boy would run off. And he'd look at the guy who was half asleep and said, I almost had one, Charlie. And he'd go back and do it a few times till he finally caught him. And that little boy was me. And I learned I better not do that anymore. Fishing in the natural. Before anyone can catch fish, they must have equipment. It doesn't need to be complicated. You go into a rod and reel today, and my goodness, there's 1,000 reels and 1,000 poles. I remember as a boy, they didn't have near the selection, but I had a rod and reel. I remember my first one. Even the country boy sitting on the bank with a stick and a string and a pin has got equipment. Henry, did you do any fishing back home? Well, that's what I'm talking about. Having the equipment, it doesn't take it to be real elaborate. No matter how poor your equipment may seem to be, God can use it. I've watched recently that outdoorsman who he goes out into the wild and he has to live out there in the wild. And I don't know if I can watch him anymore. Now he's claiming to have seen Bigfoot. so be it. But you must have a pole and you must have line and hook. You got to have bait even to start to be a fisherman. And then you got to know how to use your equipment in order to catch the fish. Now, it's one thing to say you're a fisherman, but it's another thing to produce the goods. Now, I can almost always hear somebody when men are sitting around or others that enjoy fishing talking about it. There's always somebody usually in the crowd that will say, I don't see any sense in sitting there for hours holding a pole. But there is a real thrill in catching fish. Recently, I was sent by my daughter, little Brocky caught his first fish. And they have it on video of him reeling it in and his dad walking him through it. And finally we got it in. And that was about a 14-inch nice trout, either a rainbow trout or a cutthroat. But boy, I think I was more excited than my grandson was. I remember Tawny, I think I've shared, when I took her fishing as a little girl up in Washington. We had thousands of lakes, but Tawny was there, and she felt the bite, and she says, I said, Tawny, you got him, bring him in. And rather than use the rod and reel, she put the pole on her shoulders and ran up the bank and drug that poor little fish in. Then she felt bad, she scuffed him up. She said, Daddy, I don't want the fish to die. So I said, well, we got a bucket of water and we took it home. And then somehow she forgot about it. But you got to know how to use the equipment. I remember one of my men reminded me here a couple of months ago. When we were in White Salmon, this man went on overnight on the John Day River. And there you can catch some real big catfish. And these catfish can get really big. And also, you'll get sturgeon. Well, it was at that time I was blind. I had these big, thick lenses, and I could not see the end of the pole. So I had to set the pole there and then get my nose underneath it, because when the fish would bite it, it would go down like that. And I was there, and we were waiting. Nothing was happening. One got to telling about a great big fish, and my imagination got away with me. And finally, when that fish hit, that thing went down, hit my nose, scared me to death. I took off running up the hill, and the men got to laughing so hard they were crying when they got tickled seeing their pastor running up the hill just because the pole jumped and walked down and whacked my nose. But it is fun catching fish. The heart skips a beat when you feel the tug. And then as you're reeling it in, you wonder, what kind is it? How big is it? And then there's the tug of war. He that winneth souls is wise. And you have to use some wisdom if you're going to catch some fish. If you pull too hard, you can pull the hook right out. If you pull too hard, you can break the line. You have to, as you're in some places I've fished, you have to be careful where you let that fish go. Over here, sticks and logs growing up, and you try to keep it away. And the same is true with soul winning, when you get somebody on the line. And finally, the thrill of reaching down and with a net, and you scoop the prize. And boy, a warm glow comes over your heart, and you proudly display the fish you caught and how people have taken pictures, and some have even mounted the fish and stuffed them and put them on the wall. But there's a right way and there's a wrong way to fish. And there's a right way and a wrong way to catch souls. There's a right way to bait the hook. I remember my wife, when she had never done any fishing, and I was trying to teach her, and this is the last time I ever would teach her. But she thought I had baited the hook. I had not baited the hook. She thought I said to go ahead and cast. I did not say to cast. And she threw that thing that way, and that hook went right into my palm, and my arm went out this way. And that's the last time we've ever fished together. But how much skill was needed to catch the fish that had a coin in its mouth? I wondered how easy that was. Jesus told him to go catch this fish. I'm sure he knew, Peter knew what he was doing. But a true fisherman, I'm talking about a serious one, how careful he is if he's going to be successful. And that is true when it comes to winning souls, fishing in the spiritual. You must have tackle or equipment to fish with for men. The pole, I would liken it to love. If you have no love for the unsaved, you're sunk as a fisherman. If you have what we talked about in Sunday school this morning, no sense of must, as Jesus said to Zacchaeus, knowing he wanted to win him to the Lord, and said, I must come to your house, Zacchaeus. If there is no love in your heart, if there is no must in your heart, then you're sunk as a fisherman. The second thing I would say, the line I would liken to compassion, to be able to suffer and to sympathize and agonize for the sinner until God saves them. As true as it is in natural fishing, if the line is rotten, if you don't check that line, and oftentimes you'll hear of a fisherman going fishing, he didn't check his line and the line was rotten and it broke. And how often we need to check our line. We need to check our compassion. And we need to check, do we have that sense of I must, if we are going to sympathize and understand the sinner as we try to win them to the Lord. If we don't check our line, it can get stale and it can get rotten, and it will not work when it really needs to be there fresh to win the sinner. The third thing you need is a hook. I liken the hook to faith. A fisherman cannot do without a hook. And as a soul winner, you must have faith if you're going to reach that person. A faith that will not give up until the fish is caught. The fourth thing is you need right kind of bait, or flies, or lures. I would liken to that what we were singing about this evening, about the beauty of Jesus being inside of us. And I would liken the bait as you are the bait, which is not you, but the Christ in you. If the fish does not see Christ in you, he will not bite. What will draw sinners is for them to sense Christ in you, which is a life of beauty. We, the Bible says, are walking epistles that are read and known of man. You are the bait. And oh, may we live the Christian life. May we live in such a way that people see in me Christ. Now, a worm may look ugly to you, but it doesn't matter to the fish. And you may think yourself, well, I'm nothing. You're right, you're nothing. But it's not you. It's the Christ in you. And your life, if it has Christ, it will look attractive to the sinner. That bait which you are, the Christ in you, it is the meat that Jesus talked about, that for him to do the will of God was meat indeed. A dry hook will never attract. There must be something dangled in front of the fish to tempt them to bite it and to grab it. And also, you must go where the fish are. Can you imagine myself if I got a boat and I put it out in front of the church and I got a rod and reel and I started just casting it? You'd soon want to put me away, and perhaps rightfully so. And I say this to all of us sincerely. We as a church should prayerfully consider evangelism ministries, things we can do that will reach out, because that is what the Bible says. So let me conclude. Let's go fishing. Here we are. We're all fixed up with the equipment. We have love. We have compassion. We have faith. We have a life in us that shows Christ and speaks of Christ. And here's how it works. We throw out the bait and we wait. Maybe we throw it out several times, praying that God will cause a fish to grab it. Two of the greatest attributes a fisherman can have are patience and long-suffering. But as you as a Christian testify and you live the life of beauty before them, and then comes that day when they bite and your heart skips a beat and you feel the tug of that hungry sinner or that fish on the other end of the line, and we set the hook, and now the battle begins. There's such a thing with true fishermen of learning how to play the fish correctly. I mentioned this last Sunday of a young lady that I've witnessed to, and I've had three words on her, and she promised to come. She didn't come. And I went to the dentist this week, and I saw her, and I said to her, I missed you. And she said, I was planning on going, but I was sick. And I said, well, there's this Sunday. And she promised to come this Sunday. But I need wisdom. I can't play that fish too hard. I'll lose her. And so I have to use wisdom. And so we use wisdom when it comes to people. You can't bulldog them in, and you can't do like my little daughter and just yank them and pull them up in. But oh, how he that winneth souls is wise. And but sometimes when it comes to dealing with people to win souls, the drama can be short. Sometimes it can be long. I've seen some fish take a long time to bring in. Mercy sakes, you got to have a lot of line, a lot of love, and a lot of compassion on your reel to allow them to go out and to make sure you don't ever pull that hook out. Don't ever pull the bait out, the Christ in you that's in them. And how you got to have that love, and you got to have that patience. And then sometimes there's action that goes on when you're trying to win a sinner. And sometimes the conversation will go like this as you're trying to win them. They'll say, well, I'm a good person, or I've gone to church. But then you come back with bait. And the best bait is the Word of God. And you now quote the scripture and you say, yes, but you see, the Bible said you must be born again. Have you been born again? And in this conversation, pull and tug of trying to win someone, they may say, well, I've done good all my life. And I really haven't really been really bad. And then you come back with more of a bait and a hook that says, yes, but the word said, our righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight. And the true soul winner, if he will follow Christ, will cause that person to be a fisherman of men. Are you praying the Lord help you to be a fisherman of men? By the expert and the true soul winner, he will pray for wisdom and the Holy Spirit, and that will lead him and guide him to reach the souls. And what a joy! There isn't a greater joy than being able to win someone to the Lord that you know you had a part in, and how you're able to proudly lay your catch before the Master's feet. And Jesus said, I close, follow me, and I will make you fishermen of men. I pray we remember that's what we're supposed to be. Would you stand this evening, please? Heavenly Father, may we remember always the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. May we always have the go ye in our hearts. May the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. May it be so there that when others see us, they see Christ. Oh God, we pray for souls, and we pray, Lord, that you give us wisdom to recognize the need of evangelism. Show us and teach us, and we'll accept, Lord, when you speak to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I hope you have a dream about fishing tonight. It'll be better than Sherry's dream last night.